Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Tone, one half of the best black movie review podcast in the world, Craig. This episode of the Blackbusters podcast is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Prime is more than just free shipping. Prime brings you closer to the things you care about today through shopping, streaming, and savings. For example, did you know that you can listen to your favorite podcasts, like ours, through Amazon Music? Yep. You can also watch your favorite movies, like the ones we review on Blackbusters, on Amazon Prime Video. Yep. But it doesn't stop there. You can use Prime to get more out of your interests. From purchasing behind-the-scenes books about your favorite movies to listening to soundtracks of your favorite films. Yep. Whatever you're into, or just getting into, Prime can help you get closer to it. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to sign up. From movies and music to passions and podcasts, it's on Prime.
Blackbusters.
What's cracking with the family, man? Welcome back to Blackbusters, the best movie review podcast in the world.
In the world, Craig.
Hey, booyah.
Craig.
I'm your host, Big Ja, along with my co-host.
This is Cold Tone. Cold Tone. Get those chains off the doors. The enemy is here.
Cold Tone. Get those chains off the doors.
The enemy is here.
Hey, man. Y'all probably wondering, like, what is he talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's a quote from a movie that we're about to discuss today, and it is Lean on Me. We are doing Lean on Me, man. We had a conversation a few weeks back, and this movie popped up in the conversation. Mm-hmm. You brought it up, and I'm like, bro, we got to do Lean on Me. We got to snatch that up. Whatever we was going to do the next week, we got to do this one.
I love this movie. I love this movie.
And the hard part is this movie came out in 1989. Man,
that's how old Morgan Freeman is. He was old in that
movie. He was old in this movie, man. Hey, man, Morgan Freeman was an old 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder if at 10 years old, he had to look probably 26.
But you know what's interesting, Ja, is that, like, black men especially have aged differently. Mm-hmm. Like, for all we know, Morgan Freeman was 40 when he played Joe Clark.
Yeah.
But like 40 in 89 and 40 in 2023 are totally different.
Why is that?
I think because them niggas didn't shave their head. Like, right. like if you and me weren't committed to being bald, we'd have that George Jefferson.
I'll be out here, George. I'll be out here, Uncle Phelan, my nigga.
Exactly.
Hey, bro. Yeah. I'll be out here getting my Carl Winslow on.
Eating beans and rice. Man. You know what I mean? Just on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I just think, like, they age different. I think they had less choices in terms of clothing.
Right.
So just, it was all, like, you know, like that outfit that Morgan Freeman, that Joe Clark is wearing in this movie was like the 40-year-old man outfit. Everybody went to Sears,
hard makeup, bottoms,
and so I just think there's just a different flair. But even in 89, Morgan Freeman was an established elder gentleman.
So he was born in 1937, right?
Oh, damn.
So he was born a year ahead of my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad was born in 1938. Mm-hmm. My dad had me in 1981 at 44. He was 45.
When he did
in 1981. No.
Mm-hmm.
He was 45 in 1981.
Damn.
Because my dad was 44 in 1981 when I was born. That means 8 years later,
mm-hmm. Damn.
He was 50. He was 50, son. Wow. He was 53, 52, 53.
Damn.
Nigga.
At 80. Woo. Yeah, so he really has been old forever.
This nigga been old forever, bro.
He been old forever.
Because the movie starts off, or so this movie.
Like the, with the young me, old man.
Hilarious. The movie is set in 1987,
mm-hmm.
right? And he comes back to Morgan Freeman. This movie is starring Morgan Freeman and
As Joe Clark.
As well as Robert Guillaume,
yeah.
Beverly Todd, Alan North.
You got Michael Beach.
Michael Beach with the legendary table flip.
Yeah. That's man. This is his villain origin story.
Yeah. This is what he changed.
Right. This is what he changed. Yeah.
Because he was kind of innocent. Yeah. He was a good guy.
I was just picking up a piece of paper.
Trash.
See, I'm just picking up garbage. A piece of trash.
Man,
give me the goddamn respect
that I deserve, man.
Yeah,
you would damn sure respect yourself.
Yeah, I'll kick your black ass,
nigga.
He was in there.
He kept it 100.
He kept it a buck,
bro. He said, "If you don't keep disrespecting me, bro, I'm gonna fuck you up."
Yeah, I'ma fuck you up. That's essentially what
but
he said.
If y'all, here's the thing: 1989. I don't know who's watching this. I don't know. Y'all might be 25 years old, y'all might be 35, 45. If you're 35, you might have run across it. If you're 45, you for sure saw this movie.
Yes.
If you're 55, you for sure saw this movie.
Yes.
So, but for those who haven't seen this film or haven't seen it in a long time, please go check it out.
Yeah.
It's a great film,
it's
man.
It's aged well.
It aged so
it
well.
It is aged
extremely well. Yes, sir.
Super good.
The writing is so dope. So, and we're making jokes about Mr. Darnell's character, mm-hmm. Michael Beach. He gets pissed off because Morgan Freeman, the Joe Clark is talking crazy.
Listen, man.
I've never seen a principal talk so reckless.
Yeah, yeah.
With such good intentions.
Man.
But so reckless.
Though. Like that was one of my notes, like how many times I would have quit.
Oh, man.
Right?
I probably would slap Joe Clark.
Joe.
And regret it later on.
Mm-hmm.
I would have regretted it later on because it was for the greater good. Yeah. I did his delivery.
But he just, like, no fucks given at all. Like, at all. Like, Joe was on 10 all the time. And it's interesting because I'm comparing, I'm watching it now, and this movie is aged great, mm-hmm. like, except for, like, no boss is allowed to be that abusive.
Yeah, anymore.
Right? Like
he's not getting out of the week.
They're gonna write his ass up quick, right? Mm-hmm. So you just can't get down like that no more. But like the heavy-handed approach to education versus like the soft palm approach to education.
The student teacher.
Yeah. Nah. Like I think I'm part of the reason why the schools are kind of fucked up is because we went away from Joe Clark, you know, holding niggas accountable. But he was fantastic.
Why was he banging on the teachers so hard that they were so kids? Hard.
Listen, when he had Candyman as his head of security, that's what I was like, yeah, this is legit.
Joe Clark said they used to call me Crazy Joe.
Yeah.
Now you can call me Batman.
Yeah.
And he had Candyman
as head of security, bro.
Yeah.
When Candyman's your head of security, you there about that business.
Hey, so let me just say, all right, so Joe Clark is set in 87.
Mm-hmm.
But really, really, the first scene, which I forgot, bro.
Yeah.
I forgot about the first scene.
The early, the afro,
the 1967.
The dashiki.
East Side High.
Yeah.
Joe Clark was a teacher. He wasn't a principal. He was mm-hmm. a teacher. And it was 20 years before.
Mm-hmm.
And the story starts in 1967. He's a teacher at East Side High, and it's a predominantly white school.
Yeah.
All white, damn.
Makes sense.
And he got an afro and a dashiki, mm-hmm. and he's teaching these white kids. Dope, and he's kind of adding in his curriculum with the standard curriculum,
right?
And they love him.
Yeah,
they love him as a teacher.
He's engaging.
Yeah,
you know, he's leaned in.
Yes,
you know,
he's tough still.
He's still mm-hmm. tough, but like just a great, passionate teacher.
Right, and you can tell the white kids love him.
Yeah.
And he's teaching them stuff about, and you see like Black history.
Well, Malcolm X in
you
the
see
background.
Malcolm X on the wall and stuff like that.
Blended stuff, yeah.
So, yeah. So he was basically, you know how a lot of us were raised in America. We were taught American culture, mm-hmm. not Black American mm-hmm. culture, or not African history.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? American history is what we were taught. He was teaching them both.
Yeah.
He was like teaching these white kids, y'all need to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Us, America, Africa, everything.
And unionizing on the side.
Yeah.
Like not only was he teaching in the classroom, he was trying to build a union.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They railroaded his ass, but.
Yeah. And so the beginning of the movie starts off with them basically changing things up and basically kicking him out of the school and wanting to send him somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So they that's what they did.
Send him to the burbs.
They sent him to the burbs. And they sent him to like elementary.
He's a principal at an elementary school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you can, here's the thing. His type of man, mm-hmm. the type of man he was better fit to engage older kids.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, young kids at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they're impressionable.
Yeah.
And you can do good, but you can do good at 8, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that age group, and yeah. they could end up still being bad apples.
And he was still special. I mean, we get introduced to the character Kamisha later,
mm-hmm.
and she, and you know, she's at Eastside High at the present, but she remembers him.
When she was like 10 years old, eight years old.
And he was my elementary school principal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So like, so he was still...
He was still influential.
And he was still disrespecting the staff.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
even with Dr. Napier and the guy...
Hey. But when he stood up on the table,
yeah, woo.
In front of the this is in 1967,
and put a dollar on that man's forehead.
On his forehead and yep. walked out
mm-hmm.
and quit.
Yep,
and walked out. He didn't even go get his bags from yep. his job from his classroom.
Let you know what kind of man he is.
Yeah, he's out of there, and yep. that hardened him.
Yep,
that hardened him so much to where 20 years later,
mm-hmm.
the same his same buddy Dr. Napier, Robert Guillaume,
mm-hmm.
he came back. And say, bro, we need you back at Eastside High.
Yeah.
I know they fired you
mm-hmm.
20 years ago. We need you back because the school is in shambles.
Dr. Napier is a real one.
Super real one. And that's what I love. and how they show these Black men in a white society.
Mm-hmm.
They were the same Eastside High in 1967 as yep. they were in 87.
Yep.
They were true to each other, they were loyal to each other,
mm-hmm.
and they were hard. To each other.
And they were real.
Real.
With each other.
Yeah. So very real. Show how two Black men can argue to the point where they raise their voices almost to you damn near going fist fight.
Yeah.
Because the way they was yelling at each other, it's almost like, I'll fire on you, bro.
Yeah.
But when it's all said and done, the respect and the love was there. And they also were there for the greater good.
That's what was great about their relationship. Because it was obvious that they had history.
Mm-hmm.
Obvious that they had respect for one another. Mm-hmm. Right? And Napier is like, I'm not like one of your little friends. You're not about to talk to me no kind of way. Mm-hmm. Because Napier let his ass have it.
Man.
Like, bro. You ain't shit. You ain't never been shit. You ain't never done shit. All you do is talk. I got an opportunity to put you back in the game.
And you talking shit.
And what you going to do?
He says everything you've done in your life mm-hmm. has amounted to nothing.
Yeah.
And so, and neither has mine.
Yeah.
And walked off. So at first he was like, he's dissing him. Like, bro, you want to make a mark in this world, but you haven't yet.
Yeah.
And neither have I. I'm giving you opportunity to make a mark with me, bro. Let's do this. Let's get back to this high school. Because the high school was in terrible condition. In 20 years, it went from an all-white school
mm-hmm.
to a predominantly Black and Spanish school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's graffiti everywhere. They're breaking windows. There's fights. There's gangs. Mm-hmm. It's drug infested. We got freshmen smoking crack.
Yeah.
We got everybody smoking cigarettes. The teachers are afraid of talking to the kids. They getting beat up.
Yeah.
One of the teachers tried to stop a fight, and they beat the fuck out of him.
They smashed his head into the concrete.
They cracked his head open.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a teacher. So a lot of times, teachers don't even want to get involved because they might lose their life.
Yeah.
Or they faculties.
The set was so fucked up.
I'm like, damn, this is like fucking...
like somebody like hired our director. They was like, just fuck this place up.
Yeah. Like, what's the... It's just Sin City, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, mind you, I've been to some bad schools.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing as bad as that. But we had graffiti on the walls.
Yeah.
We had fights all the time. But it was like, nah, we had some bad schools. Mm-hmm. We had some bad, but wasn't nobody smoking crack.
Yeah.
But then this is the 80s.
Yeah. And it's the 80s. I mean, they had like Suitcase Brother come in And he opened up the case, and it was like a vending machine.
A vending machine.
Of drugs. Like
a candy store.
Candy store.
What you want, man?
Machines. And that's the East Side High that that Mr. Clark, you know, walks into. And he sets the tone very early. From before we get to the auditorium, which is a great fucking scene. But when they walk in, everybody's all happy to meet him. They're all like, you know, hi, Mr.
We've heard about you.
We've heard about you. Mm-hmm. He was like, sit down. Shut up.
Right? Yeah.
Like, you know, and just ran like, you know, they can't read. Right? Like,
yeah, he in their face.
Look,
they can't read.
Yeah.
I'm
the HNIC.
And he didn't even explain what that meant. He just said it. Got up out of there. But so they wanted him to come back to the school because the school was in such bad such bad shape.
Yep.
There's a test every year.
The basic minimum skills test.
Minimum skills test is 75% or more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Eastside High was performing at 38%.
And if they don't get above 75%, the state is going to take over the school.
Yeah.
So they bring Joe Clark in to try to get those test scores above. In less than a year.
It's about 10 months, man.
Yeah, so that they can, you know, maintain control of the school.
They're about to lose. And the mayor can't have that. The mayor, it looks bad on the mayor if his schools are being taken from the city.
Yep. So that's why they bring in Joe.
So he allows Dr. Napier, he said, I got a guy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, nah, man, we can't get this guy. This guy's a knucklehead. Yeah, man. Yeah. We saw what he did 10, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, bro, if you want to get this school back, if you want to keep this school, let me bring Joe Clark
in.
He's
the guy.
So Joe Clark came in already knowing, I'm coming to save the day.
Yeah, yeah.
So he got swagger. He got intention, and he has a no-nonsense understanding in a way about him to where he's like, hey, bro, I don't want to hear nobody say nothing.
Yeah.
He says he walked into that room, the faculty meeting with the whole staff from, like, the kitchen to the teachers, the PE teachers, and the security. Mm-hmm. He said, this is what it is. Don't nobody talk in my meetings.
Yep.
I am the only one that talks on my meetings. Mm-hmm. And these is grown-ass teachers.
That
have been there for years.
Yes.
He said, no one talks in my class.
It's not a democracy.
It's not a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the HNIC.
Yeah.
He was like, Mr. Such and Such, Mr. Johnson.
You the new football coach.
You the new football coach.
Yeah.
Head coach.
Yeah.
You demoted to assistant head coach.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Tired of us leaving. Losing.
Yeah, be losing. So here's the thing. And he basically told them, I don't care what you guys have to say.
Yeah.
One guy was like, we'll let you know some of our trouble situations or some of our issues with the staff or with how things are working here. He said, I don't care about none of that.
Yeah.
Everything is changing anyhow.
Yeah.
I'm here now.
Yep.
So whatever y'all was doing before, y'all not doing no more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do. I remember being in college, right? And my junior year, we was 1-10.
Mm-hmm.
We was 0-10 for the whole season. It was the 9/11 year.
Yep.
We was 0-10, and then we played Rutgers. That's crazy. New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Eastside High was in Jersey.
Yeah.
We played Rutgers, and we beat them. They was 2-8, and we was 1-10, and we beat them. We was 0-10 to become 1-10.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, we got a whole new coach, a whole new staff. He came in, cut niggas. Niggas, whoever was starting, you ain't starting no more. He doing what Deion Sanders is doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to Buffalo, because I guess Buffalo was super whack, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, coaches, y'all complain. I don't care. Players, if y'all don't complain about not playing,
yep.
Y'all was playing last year and y'all was losing. So, yeah. So, at this point,
Eastside
High is even now, they're in the bad. Yo, this is the shitty-ass school. It's like the streets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's drugs everywhere. So, I don't care what y'all say. My way is law.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
He basically said, if y'all knew how to run a school, I wouldn't be here.
Right. That's exactly what he said.
That's exactly what he said, right? So whatever you got planned or in store, I'm not interested. Here's what we're doing. Give me the names of everybody that's a miscreant, drug dealer, such and such, and I want it by noon.
By noon on my desk by noon.
By noon.
That's the morning.
On his first day.
He was like, yeah, and if you don't like it, quit.
Yep. Boom.
If you don't like it, quit.
Put them fools in check. And then got the list. Man, I love that scene. They got all them kids on the stage. Everybody in the whole auditorium is wilding.
Chilling. Running crazy.
They smoking.
Everybody blazing.
They blazing.
Mm-hmm.
They had the little whore come down the aisle.
Yeah.
Like, you
know. The sultry walk.
Yeah. You know. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, she's turning tricks in the bathroom.
Yeah.
He went up there and kicked everybody out. And it was just like, okay, here we go.
And that got the rest of the class, the rest of the school, is 2,700 kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He got rid of 300, so it was 3,000 kids at this school. It's a big school.
Yeah.
I'm getting rid of 300 kids.
Yeah.
And he to their face, security escort these kids off the premises. They no longer come here.
And security,
they no longer attend this school.
I don't know if you saw this, but like security like licked their chops.
Yeah.
Was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
We about this action.
Yeah. And Candyman was with it.
Candyman
was like, bro, I finally got a principal that's gonna hold me down because I'm about to start acting up.
I love it. I love it. It's so
and
subtle.
The biggest, and like the toughest, roughest drug dealer, Candyman snatched him up,
yoked him up.
It was like he probably was like, man, if I do this, I might get in trouble. So let me not do it. But once Clark got there,
Listen, it might have in terms of screen time, it might have been a second. Maybe half a second, but you could see the glee on his face.
Yes. You saw Candyman.
He saw Candyman.
I was like, whoa.
He was like, hell yeah.
Because before he was an underling, he was like a deputy almost.
Yep.
So when Joe Clark got there, he appointed him, you're head of security. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're the boss now. Mm-hmm. So you can hire who you want to hire, you can bring in who you want to bring in, and then you can you run the show as far as security.
Yep.
And so he probably got his homies.
Mm-hmm.
He probably was like, hey, bro, those that got fired before are now hired again.
Yep.
I need about 15 of y'all. Come back to the school tomorrow.
He's the only one I never saw Joe Clark flash on.
Hey, when the sauce, when the sauce isn't done, you're right.
Like
he never banged
Joe Clark banged on everybody.
Unnecessarily.
But you never saw him speak. Even when things didn't go right. You know, like even like when, like how did he get in? Like, you know, somebody must open the door. He still never said, well, it's your job to keep the doors locked. You know what I mean? Like he knew better.
He might be like,
folk with Candyman.
Yo, Professor Clark, Mr. Clark, come on now.
Yeah.
I understand how you hot tempered.
Mm-hmm. I'm not Michael Beach.
But I am Michael Beach.
I'll flip you.
I'll beat the brakes off you, bro. And Candyman back then was about 38.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joe Clark about 50, 52.
Yeah.
I'll slam you in your neck, bro. Chill.
Yeah.
And I think
that's so funny.
Joe Clark knew. He knew. Yeah. I ain't gonna press this nigga's line
with him
at all.
That's so crazy. That's funny.
Yeah, man. So he came in and immediately set the tone first day.
Yeah.
He kicked the kid. In the auditorium, he had like a meeting for all the kids had to come, and he kicked the 300 kids off stage.
Yeah,
and that caused an uproar with the city, with the neighborhood, the parents. Some of the parents came to the parent teacher, like the committee,
It was probably like a school board meeting,
local school board meeting. We got parents there who are upset, and some parents are happy that the riffraff got kicked out.
Where we first get introduced, to
Sister Leona Barrett,
Miss Barrett,
Sister Barrett.
Yeah. So before when we were talking off camera, you had a very interesting question. Like, did Miss Barrett have any kids that went
because
to the school?
She represented the parents.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, she was just a parent.
Yeah.
That was upset with the way he was doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, she said, how dare you kick 300 kids? These are kids. You kicked them out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
He said, nah, these are kids, but they miscreants.
Yeah.
And they criminals and they whores and pimps and they deserve to be gone.
Yeah.
And he stood on that.
Yeah.
He doubled down on
it. He did not back off at all.
So I'm wondering to myself, like, why is she so mad?
Yeah.
Why is she so mad? Did you have a kid that went there that got kicked out? And if so, maybe you should be mad at yourself for having that type of child in the high school.
I'm like you. I always thought she was a politician, too.
I did this whole time.
I rewatched it. And then the rewatch, but like, she's just a
parent.
And we don't even know if she's a parent because they never make mention of her child. She never says my child, right? Like, and there's no other mention throughout the movie of getting her kid back in or where her kid was. So I think she's just a kind of a troublemaking local, maybe a politically aspirational. I mean, she goes from the whatever room they were in, to sitting on the board with the gavel,
or
next to the gavel. So she climbed the ladder.
She did in those 10 months.
In those 10 months.
Uh-huh.
What I love about that scene, there's so many things I love about that scene. I love the overacting of the crowd when it was getting mad and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like so if you relook at it, there's some extras going hard. And yeah. I love the whoever's like throwing, there's like one guy that's throwing these like side piece remarks. Like, you know, like, my kid ain't no deviant, right?
Like, just his hey, he probably is, because he's yelling out just like you do
yeah.
in class.
Yeah. It's like that guy. So we're going to church now, right? Like, you know, just like, it was just these little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But that was great, man. And it let you know that, like, Joe Clark don't give a fuck nowhere. Like, nowhere.
Joe Clark, hey, the kids can get it, mm-hmm. the faculty can get it, and parents, his parents can get, you can it,
get
too.
It too. Get off the welfare.
Yeah, get off the welfare. Ah, man. So,
get off the welfare.
So, and this is in the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Then you know this nigga don't give a fuck.
They've established
yeah.
that he,
everybody can get it.
Anybody can get it.
Yeah.
He's 100% comfortable. And you know what? Like his speech. Because so what's interesting, and this is one of those movies that, like, the more I watch it, the funnier it gets, right? Like, I find this movie downright hilarious at some mm-hmm. times, but it is so well acted.
Right.
But, like, if you look at it, like, the speech that he gives in that room with the parents mm-hmm. gives you the thesis of what he's trying to achieve, mm-hmm. right? You know, the Lord said, do whatever you have to.
Right.
Right? And yeah. He didn't say, Joe, be polite about it.
Nah.
So that's why I threw them bastards out, and that's all yeah. I'm going to say.
All I'm going to say, and dipped them out of there.
Dipped out.
Well, and she scowled at him. She
yeah.
was.
Yeah. Yeah. Boom.
Hey,
checkmate.
So now she's trying to go ahead. Now she's trying to go to the mayor
mm-hmm.
above him and everything.
Yeah.
So he ruffled their feathers, hers for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Ruffled the vice principal's feathers.
Yep. Gave her the business. I felt so bad for her.
Yeah.
Man, he gave her the business the entire movie.
Yeah, for no reason, man.
Oh, Miss Levias.
Yeah,
Miss Levias.
Now, so when he had a meeting with the staff in the gym,
mm-hmm.
right? No, it wasn't the gym. It was the same situation.
That first meeting in the office.
When he was kicking out them 300 kids.
Yes.
He was like, I need everybody quiet and still when I'm talking.
Mm-hmm.
And so he reached down and picked a piece of paper up off mm-hmm. the ground.
Yes.
He said, Mr. Darnell, I said, everyone quiet and still. And he was like, I was picking him. I didn't ask you what you were doing.
Yeah, my office.
My office after this.
Yeah. Mr. So, Darnell was sitting in a row with the kids.
I saw that.
When Joe finally got back to the office, he was sitting. He was
Mr. Darnell, in my office.
He was sitting on the row with the
kids, bro.
Yeah.
And that's symbolic because he was treating them like, mm-hmm. in his mind, he got there. It was like, "Hey, I'm at this college. I'm at this high school that's mm-hmm. in shambles.
Yeah,
the kids are running wild. The yeah. teachers aren't teaching.
Everybody's a fuck up.
Everybody deserves attention.
Yeah,
I need to slap everybody.
Everybody starts with a zero. Like yeah. you know, like how
no grace.
Yeah, no grace. You know, like some people will say, like a new coach or a new boss. Everybody starts with an A. Everybody has an A right now." Yeah. And then you will determine whether or not you keep that
keep
A.
That keep A.
Joe was like, all of y'all start with F's.
Y'all fail.
Everybody's failing. Mm. And so Mr. Darnell, you know, like everything to Joe was a reflection of why this place ain't shit. Right? Like, you know, you picking up that piece of paper or a piece of trash while I'm talking is why your kids can't pass
right.
the basic skills test.
Right. And here's the thing. That wasn't true.
It wasn't.
Because everyone said Mr. Darnell was a great teacher.
Young black teacher yeah, that's passionate.
Strong.
Yeah.
But
that's what Joe still had to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was like, he didn't care. Everybody, like you said, everybody's at zero. So I don't yeah. respect you. You just like the kids.
And it's almost kind of like, to this point, like, because I'd be like waffling before, like, do I think Joe is wrong or do I think he's right? By the time Joe starts softening up and like letting these people's kind of message come in, it's like Joe can afford to do it because he done cleaned the school up.
Right.
Right? So like now what do you got to, like, I'll pay attention to you now, but we can't even have this conversation until I get this graffiti off the walls,
right.
these kids where they supposed to be,
yeah.
these drug dealers out, you know. So it's just like, yeah, like, he's an asshole about it, but he just needed to get everybody on the same page.
Right.
He didn't have time to waste.
He didn't have time to waste I don't give a fuck about your feelings. Mm-hmm. This is what needs to happen. It needs to happen. I'm getting it done right now.
Yeah.
Who cares how you feel?
The Levias, Mr. Vias, there's probably like a headline, like former assistant principal wins landscape lawsuit against the way he was given, when she was looking at the fountain, when they was doing the fountain presentation, he leaned up, he said, "You having fun? Yeah, why don't you take your ass down and get them test scores? What am I supposed to wait?"
He was a bubble burster. He was killing her vibe every day, bro.
Every day.
Everything was going well with that scene.
Yeah.
He was like, how long I gotta wait?
Yeah.
He said, you can go in there right now.
Why don't you go down to Trenton?
Go down to Trenton, New Jersey. Me and Patterson, go to Trenton.
Yeah. Get those test scores.
Go get them test scores. They probably sitting there writing on somebody's desk right now. Go get them now.
Yeah.
And she was like, damn, nigga. It's
so funny. Ended up jumping ahead. And then when they finally got the test scores, the shits was low. This is like the preliminary test.
He was so upset at her.
Yeah. Next time I tell you to get something, you going to do it your goddamn self.
He's wilding. This is why I waited all this damn time for this bullshit? She was like, dang.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the thing. The test scores was 5% lower.
Lower.
It was 33%. It went from 38% to 33%.
It was lower. It was lower.
This is why I waited for this bullshit.
Oh, man. Let's jump back to the iconic scene with Sams, right? So Sams is one of the kids on stage that gets kicked off.
He's one of the kids. He's smoking crack at ninth grade.
Smoking crack.
Yeah.
And comes to see Mr. Clark.
Now, he's on the stoop.
So
he's there at the beginning of the school.
Yes.
Before the school even opens up. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Clark, as the principal, is one of the first people there.
Yeah.
And he sees this little chubby nigga on the front steps mm-hmm. of the school. What are you doing here? What's your names?
Thomas Sams. Sams?
Sams. He was like,
"There's been a mistake, sir. I was one of those kids that you..."
But you made a mistake.
Yeah, you made a mistake.
A mistake.
Yeah.
Man.
Looked at the clipboard and was like, "You smoke, says here, you something, and you smoke crack."
He said, "You smoke crack? No, that wasn't me." Mm-hmm. You think I'm stupid, boy?
right. Had no grace until the very end for Sams. Like, gave him the business.
Man, and he snatched him up.
Mm-hmm.
And drug him upstairs. And said, "Man, you know, you smoke crack, don't you? Mm-hmm. Don't you smoke crack?"
Yeah. Kills brain cells, son.
Kills the brain cells. Kills the brain cells. He said, "It's just as bad as dying. You're just doing it slower."
Yeah.
Which is true in a sense. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? He was like, "Man, you might as well jump. Go ahead and jump.
Don't fuck around about it. Do it expeditiously. Don't
fuck around about it." Oh.
So great.
He banged on himself.
So
tough.
Great, man.
He said, "Man, go ahead and jump."
Yeah.
He said, "You want to kill yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't fuck around about it.
Do it expeditiously. Damn. That's a bar.
That's a bar.
If I've ever heard one.
Don't fuck around about it. Hey, nigga.
Do it expeditiously, man.
Do it now."
He said, "Listen, I'm going to give you another chance because you're still young and you don't know shit."
Because you're a baby and you don't know shit.
You don't know shit. Love it.
He said, "If I catch you smoking crack, I toss you out the..." He said, "So he threatened him."
Yeah. And then I think he said, like, there's another part. Mr. Clark didn't have no grace for him. He said, "Did you tell your father you got kicked out of school?"
"No.
My father doesn't live with us, so..." so you making excuses for yourself?
God damn.
Damn.
Nigga.
No grace.
Man. Hey. There was... I wanted, as a filmmaker now, looking back at this movie and watching, I'm like, man, I wish we had a little bit of character development from Joe Clark at home.
Yeah. Why he was so...
Robert Guillaume, the Dr. Napier, said, "Man, your wife didn't let you, left you."
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you losing it, bro. You can't be this way. Mm-hmm. Continue to be this way.
Yeah.
So it let us know that he has problems at home, too. And that could be a reason why he's so bitter and upset.
He's just a bully kind of like everywhere. Like, you know, he is one of those smartest guy in the room type of people, right? Like, you know, smartest guy in the room. You know, better than everybody, and just clearly no behavioral control. You know what I mean? He's got a major temper.
Yeah.
You fly off the handle at any, you know, piece. That's the shit.
Thing is, he left no wiggle room, bro.
Yeah.
he was on your head from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you need that. And honestly, you did. Eastside High was a bad case. Yep. They were a special needs case. They needed that special attention.
Yeah.
Yep. It was necessary. Now, the teachers, even when Miss Levias told them, they had that conversation in mid movie,
mm-hmm.
where she was like, "You're cruel.
Yeah.
You're a bully.
You're heartless.
Heartless.
And you're cruel."
And she walked off on them.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was banging on her, he even gave the dude the thumbs up. Remember, he gave Mr. Darnell the thumbs up?
Yep.
Like, he was giving niggas love, but he never gave
her no love.
And it's like, in his mind, he's like, you the assistant principal. You my second in command. Yeah. So I need to be super tough on you.
Yeah.
And she was like, I need you to transfer me out of here.
Yeah.
Giving up? No, I'm not giving up. I'm quitting you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't deserve this no more. I don't deserve this, period. And she didn't deserve it.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
She was mistreated. I mean, it's interesting. It's so interesting because if Joe doesn't, I feel so bad about saying this.
Uh-oh.
But if Joe doesn't mistreat her, then she don't take her ass down to Trenton to get them test scores at the end of the movie.
To get him out of jail.
Get him out of jail.
Yeah.
Like.
So, hey, man.
You know.
In all reality, the disrespect and the aggression he exuded towards all the people around him,
mm-hmm.
was necessary.
It was some Joe
Jackson shit. All the Joes.
Yeah.
The Jacksons.
Something Michael, about
Michael,
Joe.
Michael wouldn't have been great.
Yeah.
If Joe wasn't who he was.
He had to, like, the only kind of, like, softness I saw him exhibit. He always had a soft spot for Kamisha.
Mm-hmm.
He always had a soft spot for her. And even Puerto Rican homie, Kid Ray.
Kid Ray.
Yeah.
Like, hey, bro, I ain't gonna lie, bro. Mm-hmm. That got me a little bit, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
This movie has so many messages, so many nuggets, and it showed you that he cared, but he's a throwback brother. He's a mm-hmm. throwback. Mr. Clark is he don't smile.
Yeah.
Ain't too much I love you. Ain't too many good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's get the job done so we can go home.
Yep.
And so when he found out that Kid Ray was dipping and he said, "Man, so you giving up, huh?"
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Man, I'm not giving up, man. I'm just moving on.
It's not meant for the school thing, you know?"
He said, "Man,
you'd be dead in a year.
You'd be dead in a year. You'd be dead in a year."
Yep. And looked at him.
Right. And he was so sincere.
Yeah.
It showed that he cared about him.
He cared about that kid.
Dang.
You know what I mean? Like,
and that's what got me. I was like, dang, bro. Yeah. And that's when it's all said and done. That's what this movie is about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a true story.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a true story.
100%.
Watch this movie, y'all. It's a true story based on true events, I should say.
Yeah.
I don't know about the fire, the chains on the doors. That
could have been true. All that's true.
That's dope,
bro. Going back to Kid Ray, it's almost like in that scene where Joel Clark says you'll be dead in a year, it's almost like Kid Ray is saying, like, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
He didn't deny it. He didn't argue. He just says, I gotta go.
Yeah. And homie had so much flavor and potential. You know what I mean?
Personality.
Like the personality, like if that guy could have got his head in the game. Who knows, you know, because he was likable.
Yeah.
He understood fashion. He was very friendly.
Yeah.
Very affable.
Everybody was everybody.
Comfortable around adults. Yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was the Puerto Rican version of the black dude, the black student that I forget his name.
Clarence?
Is it Clarence?
The jokester?
Yes.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he was.
I love that guy.
And he was a kid.
Yeah,
he was a Mr. Claude. We still gotta go to school.
Yeah,
right. Mr. Claude, we still gotta go to school.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, go to school right now. Get back to class.
That guy was great,
but he still was on the front line.
Yeah,
we Mr. Claude, free Mr. Claude.
He was one that got the bullhorn.
Bullhorn.
All right, y'all, settle down.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Listen, she might actually have something to say. Everybody should have a little loud mouth winch.
Loud mouth winch.
And then strutted down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a class clown, and he also ended up being a lawyer, probably.
So here's what's great about this. Oh, man, I love this movie. The kids did so well. Normally, like, kid actors be kind of like...
stale.
It's kind of, you know, but these kids was believable.
Uh-huh.
They was believable. They was real. Like, I love the little Puerto Rican crew.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, like, I loved all of their vibes.
And I loved Yeah, I loved how she came to him with the whole her little crew saying, "Man, you got everything black here. We go to school here too. Everything football team black
for the black
basketball team for the black.
Mm-hmm.
We need some for us for the Spanish.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. We don't even know if he actually heard her plight and made good with it. We can just assume he did though because they loved him. At the end of the day, she gave him a big kiss on the cheek.
Gave him a kiss.
Yeah,
you know she was wilding out like you know. In the front, you know, just kind of like going through it. It was good, and I remember this cast being so good from a kid standpoint. Yeah. Only a handful of them went on to work. Like Kamisha worked.
Uh-huh.
That girl that we're talking about. I saw her in 24. Mm-hmm. But like our guy Clarence, who was super funny, I felt like I wanted to see more of him.
Or even Kid Ray.
I wanted to see more of him. Yeah. Like. You know the guy that got Kamisha pregnant. I saw he worked for
Cosby
for
Show.
He was on like look. Different I saw him World, in a State Farm like, commercial. You know he was all in a bunch of stuff. But yeah, I would have loved to have seen. You know Clarence is one of the more memorable characters because he was funny. Like he was always kind of funny. He was always getting into stuff.
He was impersonating Dr. Clark. Mr. Clark
had the Playboy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like you know, just like he was the kind of kid like I would have wanted to be his friend.
And honestly, he reminded me of me.
Yeah.
Even with the flat top in high school, I have a flat top in high school, but in elementary school,
the
I
was smart, funny.
Yeah, class clown, had potential.
Popular.
The teachers be like, hey, man, Mr. telling my parents that, hey, man, he's a real good kid. Smart, but he has a lot of energy.
Because you could tell that everybody liked him.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell that he was well liked by the Puerto Ricans, by the blacks, they was by watching the faculty. Him
like he was on stage.
Yeah, like he's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, he's the guy at the school. It's a great movie.
And so even when he got there and they took the test for the first time, and the test they failed 33% out of 100, and you needed a minimum of 75 to pass. So he just started cracking the whip. The drug dealers started coming back. They started sneaking back into the school to sell drugs, and he found out.
Yep.
And he caught one of them, one of like the big time drug dealers. Mm-hmm.
That guy, that one.
That was beating up on Kid Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, was that Miss Barrett's son? The mom that was so upset with Joe Clark.
Oh, yeah.
That had this witch hunt for Joe Clark.
That's a great
whose
what if.
Whose kid was you?
That's a great
whose
what
kid
if.
Was at the school?
Yeah.
Which one of your children? Yeah. Was at the school that you so upset that he's doing all this thing.
That's a great way.
You should be supporting this dude, but you mad that he kicked 300 students out.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Miss Barrett was whack.
Yeah.
Leona Barrett, because in my mind, if I know my school, if you know the school is trash, I'm kicking out 300 out of 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 3,000 students, I'm kicking out only 300.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. And some people are like in their own world thinking like all kids need a helping hand. Mm-hmm. And they do, you think, in essence, they do.
Right.
But some kids don't want no helping hand. Some kids are going to do way worse.
Some kids are just bad.
So he's like, let me cut this cancer off.
He said it in his speech. Mm-hmm. They say one bad apple, destroys the bunch. Well, what about 300? Because that's what I had.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I got rid of them.
That was the only way I was going to
save
be able
the rest
to
of the school.
Save the rest of the school.
Save the kids that want to be here. Because even though the kids were, it was in bad shape, they were still coming to school every day. And really,
what I loved about it is like in damn near like every scene, there's a kid painting graffiti. Painting over graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
And every little scene, there's somebody somewhere.
Cafeteria,
helping to clean it up. Then you start seeing pride banners. Mm-hmm. You know, like you start seeing all of that
T-shirts.
Kind of T-shirts reflective of his early classroom.
Right.
Like the school, by the time we get to, you know, the point where they're getting ready to take the test again, the real test, the school almost like mirrors the way his classroom looked at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
With the affirmations and the belief
and
you can do it all the way around.
Right.
Just classic.
So it was weird to watch this dude bully everybody, but I could see the bigger picture. I saw that he was doing it for the greater good.
Yeah.
And
he got results.
He got results to the point where, like, the kids are excelling now. You know, so they all passing at the minimum requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And the minimum requirement is still 75%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got them singing the school song.
That's another thing. It got them... feeling, having some, a sense of pride for themselves. Yeah, yeah. Self-value.
So let's talk about, okay, I want to talk about two scenes. One, the way he, what was the original music teacher? That wasn't Miss Powers.
Now, Miss Powers, was the black lady. Sister, yeah. I think it was Miss Elliot?
Let's see. I'm looking at the Miss.
Robin Bartlett? Mrs. Elliot?
Was it Mrs. Elliot?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, she had to go.
And here's the thing. Do you think she was wrong?
I don't think that she was wrong. But I think that, like, she did not buy into Joe's program. Going back to the original first faculty meeting, she was rolling her eyes, very flippant, you know, huffing and puffing. You know, when Joe says, "I want the names of all the miscreants by noon," right? So she wasn't bought in. She was right in terms of what she was doing in terms of getting her kids, you know, but she said something very important, which is like, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, you got to give respect to get respect, right? So if you want me to, you know, if you want to have a decent conversation with me, you're going to have to come at me correct.
Right.
So I'm coming at you sideways because of how you coming at me, which ain't wrong in anybody else's school besides Joe Clark's.
Yeah. You know who you're talking to?
Yeah.
But you know what? You're fired.
You're like, because she hit him with something that hit him with like three parts words. Mm-hmm. She was like, you know what I mean? Canceled, as in, you know, such and such and such and such.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're fired. Fired. You're from my lawyer. Yeah. With a little tap on the wall.
Yeah. She wasn't wrong. She was teaching the kids Mozart. And he's like, while you're sitting here teaching the kids Mozart, and he was even telling the faculty, like, telling Napier, these teachers don't have a connection to these kids. They don't really give a fuck.
Yes.
They're doing their job. They're good teachers as far as they're doing their job. And her job is to teach them Mozart.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, but then she's not looking at the bigger picture. Yeah. These kids need to know the school song to have some self-pride in where they go to school at.
How is Mozart going to help them?
How is Mozart going to help them when they can't get the job?
Yeah.
He asked her that.
Yep.
And she had feedback, rebuttal, but like, he fired her. I don't know if I would have fired her, but in his mind, he was like, it's not about her. She has a point. She has some right here.
Mm-hmm.
But I need you guys to know it doesn't matter what you think. What you guys think of them, it doesn't matter anymore because of the past. The past,
Joe Clark,
has got you guys no results.
Is running this like Beanie Siegel from State Property.
Get down and lay down.
Get down and lay down.
Get down and lay down.
Get down.
Get down.
That's how he's running.
No nonsense Joe.
No nonsense Joe.
He could be right. You're still wrong because I'm the boss.
Get down and lay down. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she didn't. But I think what's clear is that Miss Powers related to the kids in a way that Miss Elliot never could.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They came to Miss Powers to learn the school song.
And she remixed
it. And Miss Powers remixed the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was Miss Powers that got the kids on their feet at the auditorium in the assembly right before they took the test.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So Miss Powers was the right teacher for that school, which is so important.
Right.
Because Miss Elliot would not have, I don't think Miss Elliot would have cared enough that any kid learned the school song.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she said she would do it, right? Like, you know, but no. But Miss Powers did.
Yeah.
And gave us our fair Eastside.
By the side was then. No way.
Yeah.
Loyalty.
Yeah.
She had all kind of shit going on in there, man. She did her thing. Miss Powers. Yeah. So he has about 10 months to turn this school around.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making good time. Like, there's no more drugs in the school.
They're cleaning it
up. And especially once he found out the kids, the drug dealers were sneaking back in there, he started putting chains on the door.
Chain the doors.
So once the kids are in there for the day, he said, y'all in here until the school year. The school day is off.
Yep.
And then y'all can leave.
Mm-hmm.
In his mind, like, y'all don't have no reason to leave the school anyhow. So anybody coming in, nobody getting out.
We good.
And that makes Miss Barrett lose her mind.
She, man.
It's a safety hazard, yeah. A fire hazard.
Mm-hmm.
And
what, Clark?
We don't get you shut down.
Yeah.
And he knew that that could possibly get him shut down. He knew that even though he
knew it was illegal.
He stood on what he did, but he was like, this is illegal, and I might get shut down for this.
Yeah, effort. He had to do what he had to do.
Yeah.
Had to do what he had to do. So, yeah, and so transforms the school. You know what I mean? You know, I want you to put the kids on a weight program. You know what I mean? Like, come in on Saturday. So, that, you know, if their parents can't
come
read.
Come in on Saturdays, yeah. They can come in, too.
They can come in, too.
He's changing the shape of the city, bro.
Yeah. Call their house. Da 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 da.
So what happens if the kids don't want to come to work? Mm-hmm. Come to class. Mm-hmm. Go get them.
Yeah, go get them. We knocking on their door. We talking to their parents. Right?
And he showed improved.
Yeah.
He practiced what he preached. He went to Renisha's house?
Kamisha.
Kamisha's house.
Kamisha got pregnant. Oh, no. Well, when Kamisha was
sitting there. I had no place to go.
Yeah.
My mama kicked me out.
I love that scene, too.
Yeah, it was hard, too.
I love that scene.
Man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They had a lot of heartfelt scenes in this film.
And this is where Miss Levias is showing her value throughout the movie. Joe don't ever give her no credit. But when they in there at Kamisha's house, you know, Joe about to go, Joe, you know, I remember you was one of my most active parents. What the fuck happened to you?
Yeah.
Like he was on his way to be
no wiggle room.
No wiggle room. And then she was like, listen, calm down. Why would Kamisha think
That you don't want her anymore.
You know what I mean? Like, boom, like, had to step up in front of Joe's ass before he made matters worse. And that was a good scene.
Because the mom would have probably shut down.
Yeah.
Get out of my house.
Yeah.
Leave.
I don't want to do this, but I love her. You know what I mean? Like,
stuff. When,
I don't want her seeing me like this.
And it's so, it's so realistic and very relatable. This film deals with, like, drug abuse as teenagers, drug abuse with your parents.
Teen pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Teen illiteracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it dealt with so many things and how one person can spark a flame in the hearts and the spirits of these kids to make them want to do better. I remember being a kid, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep it 100. In eighth grade, bro, I was failing. I was flunking out.
Mm-hmm.
My mom came to my open house.
Yeah, it used to be either back to school night or open house. Yeah, those were the two.
Well, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. you see all the teachers, and the teacher give you a report card or a progress report card. My mom got the progress report card, bro. I had 3 Fs, 2 Ds, and 1 C.
Mm.
And my mom looked at me like I was crazy. I went to school every day.
Yeah.
And she looked at my mom. I was flunking out. I was probably going to have to do the 7th grade over.
Right.
That was 7th grade. No, I'm sorry, 8th grade. 8th grade. And she was so upset with me that she didn't even talk to me on the way home. Like, you just not even giving a fuck about your education.
Yeah.
And I was just running the streets, running around, doing goofy shit, man. And my mom worked so many hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to be asleep by the time she came home from work around midnight. And we had to be up before she got up to go to work. So I see my mom sometimes.
She was independent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just running around doing what the fuck I wanted to do. And then she wasn't checking because she was so tired.
Yeah.
And so, but then fast forward to me going to live with my pops. My pops literally is Joe Clark, man. I might have brought him up before on some of these episodes.
Yeah.
Like if anybody that's watching this that knows me and knows my dad, nigga, no wiggle room. And my pops was a motherfucker. He was Morgan Freeman, Samuel Jackson, and Furious Styles from Boys.
All of them.
All mixed up. I can never say I don't know to my father. I can never shrug my shoulders. I can never not respond to him.
Those little things.
Yeah. I cannot look him in the eye. Mm-hmm. And if he asks me a question, it's not rhetorical, nigga. Yeah. Answer me.
Yep.
Why'd you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Even if my answer was because I can get away with it. No. I thought I can get away with it because I wanted to, even though I know it was wrong. Tell me the truth, nigga.
That's that character building shit
right there.
That's that character building shit right there.
I went from flunking out to graduating from high school with straight A's.
Yeah.
Not because I was just this genius-ass kid. I wanted to do better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what Eastside High was. They wanted to do better, and you can see it.
Eighth grade is a pivotal time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had that not happened, like, you know, the trajectory, there's a lot of people that kind of go awry a little bit. But that's what Joe was. And what I loved about it is didn't it feel like he knew every student in the school?
Bro, I promise you, I was like, dog, that would be dope if I was a principal. Could that even be possible? If you really take your time and spend every day of the school year going to each class and looking at the list and meeting every kid. And of course, you can't remember 2,000 plus kids.
Yeah.
But could you remember 2,000 plus kids if you practice learning their names and spend the whole school year trying to have a 5-minute conversation with every kid.
He not only did he seem to know every kid, but seemed to know where they were supposed to be.
Right. Don't you got history?
Yeah.
Don't you got English last?
Yeah. You had lunch last period. Get out of here. Right? Like, you know, like had a read on everybody, was patrolling the halls.
Sam, mm-hmm. put that back.
Yeah. Had his megaphone, mm-hmm. patrolling the halls, knew where everybody was supposed to be. Seemed like you could come to him with an issue and he would handle, like,
right.
Hands me on. In the office when baby girl was like, listen, you know, why aren't you in class? I need to call my baby. Okay, come with me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, let these, you know, Mr. Such and Such, let her use the phone.
Let her use the phone.
Boom, boom, boom. Running it, like, running the whole thing.
And showing them that they matter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So we get to, you know, the test. You know, they have the big pep rally for the test with the mm-hmm. classic lean on me.
Mrs. Rogers, Mrs. Powers sings lean on you me. Know,
shuts it down.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way the kids were singing and dancing.
He finally gave Miss Levias her props.
Yeah,
gave and her he love. Ben gave it to her because she backed him up mm-hmm. so many times.
Yep.
But he was so hardened, bro. I think he was so jaded from his past.
Yeah.
And this is a condition of black people in general, black mm-hmm. youth that he saw. He was so hard, he couldn't even see the arrow in his ways. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like that combined with the great montage, he is somebody, right? Uh-huh. Like, you know, like, I love that part. So we get to the end, they have the test, and then here comes Mrs. Barrett.
Yes, because she found out that he was chaining the date. He was chaining the gates, mm-hmm. the doors of the school to keep the drug dealers out.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. If I don't chain the gates
mm-hmm.
or the doors, these drug dealers will let their friends will sneak them in, open the door for them.
Mm-hmm.
We got to chain the doors.
Yeah.
While the kids are here in school, they don't need to leave, so we'll chain the doors.
And that was the code 10. You know, he went and got – he called a meeting, a faculty meeting – with his real ones, the people on the mm-hmm. staff that he trusted.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, this is what we're doing.
Wow.
We locking these doors. If you hear code 10 on the radio,
go to your specific, you got go the to key. Your,
and
go
unlock,
to your specific unlock door.
The door. Mm-hmm. And that's how he was keeping them at bay. But then finally, you know, Mrs. Barrett, the mayor, the fire chief got the got a court order. You know what I mean? A search warrant, a subpoena to walk in. And then that's how they catch, you know, Mr. Clark.
Mm-hmm.
They take him to jail.
Yeah.
And he's inside the jail cell chilling.
Chilling. While he was being taken away in handcuffs, they mm-hmm. said, what happened, Mr. Clark? What'd they do to you?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I broke the law. And this is what happens when you break the law. You got to suffer the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Even in him feeling he was right, he had to set an example.
He had to set an
and
example.
And even if it wasn't the right thing to say,
yep.
I need them to know that breaking the law is wrong.
You got arrested the right way.
And even if I know I'm doing this for a good cause,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to justify it in front of these kids. I'm going to let them know I'm going to jail because I did something wrong.
Because I did something wrong, right? Which is great, which leads to the iconic, you know, free Mr. Clark.
Free Mr. Clark. They came down the block.
They came down heavy the block.
Hey, heavy.
They spun the block
they
heavy.
They spun the block. It was like, free Mr. Clark.
Yeah.
And they was outside the jail. Which is that basically, you know, jail,
city,
jail
hall,
there,
city hall, jail,
convention center, all that shit.
Yeah. Municipal building, Civic the whole
center,
shit.
Municipal,
yeah.
And so he was like, man, you might want to see this. Look mm-hmm. out the window, he see all these kids.
It was all out there.
About 1,000, 1,500.
Free Mr. Clark. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that made me feel proud, bro.
I loved it. Then the mayor came down. It was like, Joe, I need your help. I gotta do shit but stay black and die.
I need your help, man. You gotta help me here. I don't gotta do shit but stay black and die.
That's my favorite line.
A bar, yeah.
Favorite line. And it was a good moment with there. It was a good moment with him and Dr. Napier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like good. I mean, his relationship with Dr. Napier
was dope.
Dr. Napier was like, brother, I will go to the fire for you. You know what I mean? When they was yelling.
Yeah, but you were wrong.
Yeah, you were wrong, da da da. Cursed his ass out, and did this earlier and was like, let's go get something to eat.
He said, man, he said, you so hyped up on being mm-hmm. on discipline,
mm-hmm.
how about starting off by taking mine?
Taking mine.
Because it's true. He said,
contrary to what you believe,
I'm the head nigga in charge. I'm the boss,
yeah,
nigga.
Yeah, that's great.
And walked up out of here.
Listen, that was, so,
get something to eat.
So going back to that. That was like two acting powerhouses.
Come on, bro.
Like just two, like matching energy and like, you know,
intensity.
And that's, man, for Robert Guillaume, that was a really difficult part to play because Joe's been at 10
the whole time. Movie.
And in order for this interaction to seem believable, you got to somehow get to 11.
You know how big you got to be.
How big you got to be. To make
him look small.
To put him in
this
check.
This place, yeah.
This bully, this pit bull, this guy.
You got to become a Cane Corso.
Listen, man. Uh-huh. And that's exactly what Guillaume was doing.
Hey, man, truth to what you, he's like, what did you say? Oh, contrary to what you believe.
Yeah.
I'm the head nigga. Yes. I'm the boss. You do what I say.
He said, you will kowtow. You will step and fetch.
Yeah, you'll do whatever I tell you to do.
You do whatever I tell you to do.
And then he had to take it. Pause. Mm-hmm. He had to be like, hey, man, let's go get something to eat.
Yeah.
Attitude and all.
Yeah, but Walpass said, you think
you bad.
Yeah. That's a great friendship.
That basically said, you got me. You won.
Yeah.
Big homie.
Yeah. And it's just been like, listen, like, as evidenced by the fact that, like, they keep it real with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They've been keeping it real with each other for over 20 years.
Yeah.
Right? Napier stayed in the game. Napier maybe, obviously, he knew how to play the game.
Superintendent or something.
Yeah, he was a superintendent.
Yeah.
In a way that Joe obviously never couldn't.
Right.
Right? And Napier says, for like 20 years, I've been waiting on an opportunity. I've been trying to get you back in the game.
And this is the time.
This is the time. Because it was Napier's idea to bring in Joe.
Yeah.
He's a real one, man.
He fought for him.
Fought for
him. The mayor was like, absolutely not. We're not doing that. You ain't bringing Joe Clark back. Yeah. No, sir.
He's like, listen, the only people that want this job are unprepared or, you know.
Don't have the guts to do this.
Do what needs to be done. And so we there. We get the great scene where the kids kind of get to take their turn, you know, speaking about who Joe Clark was and what he means meant to them. Oh, it was so good. It was so good. Like some of the greatest lines and worst lines were said. Like Kamisha was like, you know, like Joe Clark is like a, you know, not only is Mr. Clark Eastside High, Mr. Clark is like a father. You mm-hmm. know, he's the only father some of us who don't have fathers have.
Man.
And I felt that.
Woo.
I felt that, like, you know,
man,
in my bones.
Because that's the state, like we said before. This movie translates so well.
Yeah.
This movie can happen in 2023 right 100%.
Now. 100%. And there's been...
Idris Elba be the coach.
There's been a thousand knockoffs of this movie.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like we've seen
the... 187?
The 187.
With Samuel Jackson?
Yeah. Freedom Riders.
Freedom Riders.
Yeah. Like, you know, they've always come in and been like the teacher that stand and deliver.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, you know, the teacher that comes mm-hmm. in and kind of changes things. But this one had heart.
Yeah, because I feel like the kids, mm-hmm. man, the kids were so relatable.
Yeah.
And everybody can relate to everyone that knows at least a kid like that or a parent like that or a teacher like that. I feel like you can relate to at least one person in this film.
Even like dumbass Sam's, who was like, we don't want a good principal. We want Mr. Clark.
I said, man, I get it.
I get what you're trying to
do. But that's how you want to deliver that line? Exactly. You know what you're saying?
Exactly. And it was great. So then, like, you know, Joe comes out. Crowd goes wild. They give him the microphone. You know, he's trying to
get them to leave.
Shush him away. Here come Mr. Vias.
The police vans is pulling up.
They pulling up. They got the batons.
Yeah, they ready.
They about to clear the quad.
They in the back surrounding the perimeter waiting for the go.
They like a little real good subtle work. Like one cop kind of comes in the background and whispers in the mayor's ear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's going down. And then Mr. Vias comes in and Joe, read this.
He said, I don't have time right now. I left you in charge. You but hey, my nigga, shut up. Right, read.
Right, right. And they passed the...
He said they passed the minimum requirements.
Yeah, crowd goes wild.
Crazy. It went from 33 to 70-something%.
He gives props to his guy, Mr. Napier.
Mm-hmm.
Says Mr. Mayor, who in a true politician is buttoning up his jacket like he about to give a speech.
Right.
And was like, listen, you can tell the state to go to hell.
Right.
Boom. And then, and I love the post credit scenes. Like I love seeing
the graduation,
and him talking to him. Just lean on me, man.
Lean on me, man. Just a man that has all the great intentions, but not always the best words and the best tactics to get his point across. Very crude, very, very vicious, very, very uncomfortable, off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, he really loved the kids. He came down to Kamisha's house
yeah.
and talked to her mom.
Mm-hmm.
He
was effective.
He was effective, bro. And he was genuine.
Yeah.
It was genuine.
He did what needed to get done. He learned the lessons that he needed to learn. And he was the only person that could have done it. Right?
Right.
So I like, you know, watch this. Like, if you call yourself a black movie head yeah. or a black, like, this is required watching. This is required watching. And again, this movie can give you whatever it is that you're looking for. This movie yes. is certainly dramatic.
Dramatic?
Right. This movie is hilarious. And
it has funny moments.
Unintentionally
for sure.
funny. Yeah. Like, even when Joe's cursing them niggas out, right? Like, you know, shit's funny to me. It's over the top.
Uh-huh.
But it's aged well.
Yes.
It's a great movie. Lean on Me is a fantastic movie.
And I like how real it is, where even when Shamika got pregnant by dude mm-hmm. wasn't a bad kid.
Nah.
He was a good kid.
He was the class president.
He smashed a chick, no rub.
Mm-hmm.
Or he didn't. Oh, yeah, he probably no rub.
Yeah.
And now he, as like little boys, don't want to own up to what
yeah.
they've done.
Yeah.
I'm pregnant. Shit. He's probably scared the shit out of him. I don't yeah. know his mind.
You sure it's mine? And then Kamisha said, because I ain't never been with no other boy.
The only one I was with.
Right. Perfect. He wasn't a bad dude.
And he probably, so.
He probably grew up to be a bitch ass. He probably.
Here's the thing. I kind of feel like. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh boy, Clarence mm-hmm. grew up to be a lawyer and or the owner of something or yeah. the manager somewhere.
Like I own 3 Chick-fil-A's.
Right, yeah, something like that.
yeah.
Next to Mr. Clog and come yeah. to see Mr. Clog later on in the years.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that, what was his name, Calvin? It wasn't Calvin.
feels like his name should have been Calvin.
Calvin, yeah. Shamika and the dude, he probably ended up doing what he was supposed to do because he seemed to be...
Yeah.
And I don't think they stayed together.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No. I think he probably went on to be to college. What's interesting is what kind of person he grew up to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, because he was like a little corny.
Yeah.
Little corny, but he was the class president, so mm-hmm. he certainly was ambitious. So, you know,
I think,
who knows?
I think he ended up being responsible.
I think, yeah.
And this not with her.
Just a decent cat.
It's probably going to take him a while. It'll take him the first couple of years to really just buckle down and be a pops.
Yeah.
But he's still a kid. He's still a teenager. Mm-hmm. He's still in high school.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like the little court, the quintet.
Yeah.
They probably went on the record. They grew up to become troop.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
yeah. They know on Wikipedia. It has them listed as Riff.
Oh.
So they were a group, I guess, in real life. Riff.
Right.
Yeah. It's great, though.
Yeah.
Okay. MVP. Let's give out some awards. Who's the MVP of Lean On Me?
MVP of Lean On Me is Joe Clark? Yeah, hands down.
Okay. I got no problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
No problems with that at all. Easy peasy. You know where I'm going with it.
I do.
Dr. Napier.
Dr. Napier. I know. Dr. Napier.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Though, as vicious as Joe Clark is,
mm-hmm.
Napier was a beast too.
Napier was a beast.
I couldn't imagine him not being able to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Joe Clark or, mm-hmm. or Frank Napier coming to that school. But yeah. here's the thing. He knew... The best, he probably could have been a principal there and, mm-hmm. and it could have been just as dope, just as effective. But he knows, I can't reverse, I can't switch with Joe. Joe's not going to mm-hmm. be able to handle these politicians. So let me stay in my role
yep.
and fight to get him in this role because this is where he's going to thrive at. He yep. probably can't do my job. Mm-hmm. I could probably do his, but he don't have the couth.
9 out of 10 times, you know, when it's, like when we're talking about sports,
mm-hmm.
let's say football,
yeah,
coaching quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And the quarterback is amazing. 9 out of 10 times, I'm like, the quarterback deserves all the credit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know what I mean? They always like right. to give it to coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, coach such and such and such. But yeah, the kid making the plays.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Michael Vick, it was him.
The guy scrambling out of the pocket, having a vision, staying calm. Give it to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Lean On Me, Joe Clark is the quarterback.
Yeah.
But this is the one time where, like, Napier had the vision from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. Napier knew that Joe was the right man for the job.
He tried to swindle him by, hey, man, he asked for you personally.
Yeah, yeah.
The mayor asked for you by name.
Hustling said, that, come you on, know what I mean?
Cut it out.
Not afraid to insult Joe to his face, knew exactly what to say to Joe to get Joe to respond, served as guardrails for Joe to keep his ass That's in crazy. Check and in line. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like.
Bro, I fight for you. I'll fight. And you tripping. You wrong, Joe.
You wrong. Mm-hmm. So I got to give it to Napier because
if
Napier doesn't choose Joe Clark, Eastside High goes back to the state.
It does.
So it's Napier's call. This is Napier's plan. Napier is
the head coach behind it all.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah.
LVP.
LVP.
This is interesting.
Oh, man.
Who's the LVP of
Lee? LVP.
Damn.
I want to say the white lawyer homie with the receding.
Yeah, with the bad jokes.
But he's the one that... So he was the snitch.
He was the one that was sitting in the... Napier's homie.
Yeah, he's the one that told Joe Clark about they come to get the chains. Mm-hmm. They come to check to catch you with the chains.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I'm going to give you mine.
Okay.
I feel bad doing this because there's no real, like, LVPs. There's no real, like, losers. Like,
right.
Mrs. Barrett is the villain, but she's not the LVP.
No. She's very much pushing him.
Yeah.
She's challenging him.
So, and I feel like he was a good teacher.
Yeah.
I felt like he was a good guy, but I'm giving it to Mr. O'Malley.
Okay.
Right. And the only
he ran in there, he was a buster.
Yeah,
he never stood up to Joe Clark.
Yeah.
Mr. Darnell did.
Yeah.
Miss Levice did.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Miss Elliott. And she got fired, but she was cool with it. Right. She was like, all right, fuck it. I'm gone.
Every time, and the one thing, and we never saw Mr. O'Malley be a good teacher.
Right.
Like, even in all the montages.
He's always by himself.
Yeah. You like
No one reveres him.
You got Mr. Beach. You got the guy that they promoted, the white guy that they promoted to coach. And he's working with Sam's on the different thing. And you never get to saw Mr. O'Malley, like, you know, like one-on-one tutoring. So whenever we saw him, he was either getting cursed out, yelled out, or punked.
Right.
Or clapping off beat.
yeah. Something.
Yeah, this is my LVP.
LVP. My LVP for sure.
Overacting.
Overacting. It's somebody for sure.
I mean, Sam's is a nominee.
I thought about him.
Sam's is a nominee. We're doing the oochie coochie, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just doing.
But he's a kid.
He's a kid.
He's walking in the hallway.
Let me cut him some slack.
Yeah, he's me.
Let me cut him some
slack. And no one's watching him. No cameras on him.
This is true.
He's just being silly in front of the pack of the homies, the older homies. And he's trying to be silly for them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I can see a 14-year-old kid with no cameras around being silly with his friends.
Yeah.
Quoting the movie. Tony Montana or some shit.
Let me be easy on Sam's. Yeah. He's had a rough life.
Yes.
Okay, my vote for the overacting award has to go to the attendees of the student board meeting, right? If you...
The first one?
The last one.
The last one.
The last one, right? Like, you know, the ones where the kids, like, approach. I want you to rewatch that job.
Mm-hmm.
There's some combustive-ass extras. Like, the people get up yelling at, like, you know, like,
uh-huh.
Like, to me, it was just like, they're going way too hard. I'm doing that because I can't really find any other character.
Right.
I don't feel like Joe was overacting.
Nah.
He was on point.
Mr. Darnell was good.
Mr. Darnell was great.
Solid.
Even homie, the you know, like, super thug that got kicked out of the school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, he was, you know, he was.
Yeah, I'm going to get you, man.
Yeah, he was legit.
I'm going to get you, man. Yeah.
Maybe the overacted award could go to the suitcase drug guy. You know, when he came in and they opened the suit and he, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, you know, and he went in, he was selling guns and shit inside the school. Like, maybe that guy was a little bit too obvious.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, just like Kumo D.
Yeah.
Just like Kumo D.
This nigga shouldn't be in the school.
Yeah, he walked right in.
Yeah, he looks as old as Joe Clark. Right. He gots to go.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Okay, Fist?
Oof. I would give it 10 if I had it.
Yeah.
Five. Classic. I'd watch it again.
Yeah.
I'd want to watch it with, like, this is the type of movie you can put in the high school and have kids, at-risk kids watch it, or just kids, all the kids watch it. But for sure, this is the type of film you play in front of at-risk kids or juvenile delinquents and then have a discussion afterwards.
Listen, this is the type of movie that you could play there, the type of movie that you could play at a barbecue with your fam.
Right.
This is the type of movie that you could actually play with the sound off.
Yeah.
And just have conversation about the movie like we're doing now.
Right.
It's like, for me, this is top tier.
Top tier filmmaking.
Five Black Fists.
Top tier.
It's one of the best.
Dialogue.
Yeah.
The writing is strong. The performances are strong. The message is extremely strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie that had to be made and needed to be made. Five Fists for sure, bro.
Yeah. Five Fists for sure.
Absolutely, man.
Listen, so you gonna end the show?
Because
if you're gonna do it, don't fuck around. Do it expeditiously.
Don't fuck around. You're gonna end the show. Do it expeditiously. Man, I'm gonna end the show and I'm gonna do it expeditiously. Man, lean on me, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish, man, it's something that I always say this, and it's true even for this movie. There's so many things I can say more about it.
Yeah.
If I could break down every scene,
we could talk about every scene.
But we won't
there's
do that.
So many different scenes here.
Right.
Like again, we just kind of like touched on, like, I want to, like, his interaction with the Puerto Ricans. We're all my white students. I'm a white student. Stand up.
Poor white trash.
Yeah, poor white
trash. Like us.
Yeah, exactly.
Sit down now.
Sit down. They would have been anywhere else if they could be.
But they hear it. They hear East Side.
Yeah.
He turned that school down. He turned that school around in 10 months. And it seemed like it was a genuine change.
Yeah.
And him being so stone hard cold, pause. Mm-hmm. That was the boost that the school needed to pay attention.
It's been a long time since I've been in school, but I remember that, like, certain principals had that effect.
Yeah,
like they were almost kind of like, I remember, like, my early principals, like, feeling like they were almost like royalty. Like they were just, like I went to Dublin, and for a long time it was Mrs. Shepherd. And eventually Dr. Shepherd. She's a black lady, kind of looked like Miss Powers.
Miss Powers.
Right? Always smelled like that old lady, old black lady perfume. Always had
Sand the Sable.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, white diamonds or some shit.
White diamonds.
Right, right.
That's my mommy dream.
Always had the same dress. And I just remember that, like, when she would say, keep going or, keep doing it. It was one of those things where it was just like, I believe it. Whatever you see, I see too, right?
Right.
And that was at the elementary level. So to come in and transform a school at the high school level, man, phenomenal.
Man, it's crazy. It's crazy how even the bad teachers perform well. Actually, there were no bad teachers. I think the situation with the choir coach, the choir teacher, she was just on a different path.
Yeah.
They were on a different page. She was right. The way he would talk to her was wrong.
She was 100% right.
Right. But I think she better was fit somewhere else.
That's what happens sometimes in business, even though it's a school. It's just like, you're super talented, but we run a different program here.
Yeah.
Right?
We need Ms. Powers to take the lead now.
I've worked at some jobs where, this is in the startup space and big company space, where, like, the CEO is like at 9:02 looking. Who's not here at 9:02? He cares about that.
Right.
Right? So if you can't get to work at 9:00, you and him are not going to get along.
Yeah.
No matter No matter if you walk in at 9:05 and work through lunch and leave at 6, he cares that you're not here at 9.
Right.
Right.
It's a precedent that he's trying to
set. This is very important.
Yeah.
I've had other CEOs who, like, all I care about is performance.
Yeah.
Right?
How you get there,
I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you can get here at 10, and as long as everything is done like it needs to get done. So they had, I think, one of those just philosophical differences, yeah. Right? That, like, they weren't going to get along. She was not going to be disrespected.
Right. Right? He was sending teachers in front of teachers and sending kids. Sending
teachers in front of kids.
Hey, bro, put me to the side and talk to me. Hey, yeah. Hey bro, Mr. Clark, you can't talk to me like this. I wouldn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now you can fire me. I know you're my boss. You can fire me or I can fire on you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? One of the two.
I mean, that's what Mr. Darnell was on.
Yeah.
Mr. Darnell was on. Nah, first of all, Mr. Darnell was like, I took the demotion. Mm-hmm. I'm busting my ass for you.
Right.
Like, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Like, show me some respect. Respect
or I'm going to kick your black ass.
Listen, I was saying on the drive down here, when somebody adds the black, like that's when you know they mean business. Uh-huh. Like, hey, man, I'll kick your ass. It's like, okay, whatever. You might just be talking.
Yeah, whatever.
But I'll kick your black ass. It's like, oh, shit, he's serious now. After he's black.
Easy.
Hey, that adjective changes the whole sentence. It's the truth.
I mean, I think he means business.
Yeah.
He means business. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Lean on Me, y'all.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's one of his best works, and it is, but like he got so much other so much other shit he's done, but that's definitely one of mine.
This is a young old Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
So
he
was spried. This is
up there with Malcolm X for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
In terms of just
in terms of how I feel about it. You know what I'm saying?
The movie?
Malcolm X is the pinnacle. Like it's so much bigger.
Yeah.
But like when I say like The feeling I get after watching Lean on Me is the same feeling I get when I watch like a very inspirational film for us.
And you I love this for the multiverse. I just saw a tweet like literally before I hopped on a car to come down here. And the tweet basically was like, what two movies do you think exist in the same universe? Right? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I can't wait to look at this. So it's almost kind of like, could Lean on Me and Juice exist in the same universe?
Ooh.
Right? Like, you know, like, could, you know, Steel and Q and Bishop been the guys that was on stage, that was kicked off the stage?
Yeah.
You know, they went to East Side High, and they don't get any of that game, you know, because they were already truant and doing all the different things that they need to do.
I like that.
That's an interesting twist, right? Like, you know.
East Side High, Lean on Me and Juice be the same film.
I mean, Lean on Me and New Jersey world. Drive could be the same movie.
For sure.
They could be the same universe, right? Like, you know, these guys, you know, Mr. Clark kicked them out of school.
Mm-hmm.
So now they just out on the block.
Now he got to go get this guy out of jail now.
Yep.
All right, y'all. Lean on Me, Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of the episode, man. Thank y'all for checking it out. Please go check this film out. It's a feel-good film. It's hard to watch a little bit because it's heavy. It deals with some real inner-city situations.
But it's ultimately feel-good.
Ultimately feel-good, and it's a great ending.
Yeah.
I want y'all to go watch it, man. Lean on Me, Big Ja, Blackbusters, the best movie podcast, movie review podcast in the world.
World Cred.
In the World Cred.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Big Ja.
Cold Tone. Get those shins off the doors.
Cold Tone. Watch the movie and you understand what you're talking about.
Perfect.
Cold Tone. Get these chains off the doors. The enemy is here.
Yeah. Boom.
Hey, man, we out of here, man. Love life. Be good or be good at it. I'm out. Pew. To the max.
Blackbusters.
Shop Amazon for last minute gifts. Great deals for everyone on your list. Gifts for mom and gifts for dad. Even for your sister and your brother, Chad. Ah, shoot, we didn't realize we were supposed to get a gift for our dog walker guy. We almost forgot about our dentist, Dr. Kerr. We didn't expect to get a gift from her. Or our cousin, I forget his name. He got us something nice, better reciprocate. For last minute deals on gifts for people you forgot. Get fast and free shipping at Amazon.